Our scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. Now, about 8 days after these saying, Jesus took with him Peter, John, and James, and they went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came down and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent in those days and told no one of the things they had seen. There ends our scripture reading.
Good morning. So nice to see all of your lovely faces on the first Sunday without mandatory masking. So today is Transfiguration Sunday. So let's talk about it, shall we? Transfiguration is a big word. It comes from the Greek word meaning metamorphosis or to transform. Pictured in one of the simpler ways some of us learned in kindergarten is like a caterpillar transforms or metamorphosizes into a butterfly. The word transfigured appears in the books of Matthew and Mark, but not in our passage today from Luke. Generally, the Gospel of Luke, including parts of our passage today, paints a picture emphasizing the humanity of Jesus, the flesh and the blood. So instead of the drastic and the dramatic word transfigured, which tends to carry the meaning of changing to show glory, we instead see the phrase, his face changed. Changed. That just means other or different. Very simple. So granted, change may sound less compelling than transfigured. But let's keep reading. While he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. And then Moses, Elijah, and Jesus appeared together in glory. So with our understanding as Moravians, Jesus is both fully human and fully divine. So if you want an image in the Gospel of Luke that says Jesus is the true Son of God, that Jesus is divine, this is it. Jesus appears in this divine, glorious form. His face changes, his clothes dazzling, or in another translation, are bright as a flash of lightning. So the word changed may not really do this passage justice. So let's consider Jesus' company to help understand. Let's start with Moses. Moses was tasked by God to deliver the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And in the book of Exodus, Moses walked up Mount Sinai, he received the Ten Commandments, and when he came down, his face shone because he had been talking with God. His face shone so bright, in fact, that the Israelites were afraid. This light was the radiant glory of God. In 2 Kings, Elijah, regarded by many as one of the first and greatest prophets, was walking when suddenly a chariot of fire and horses appeared. And Elijah was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. Surely interaction with the divine. And now Jesus, who before this passage foretold his own suffering, death, and resurrection. In verse 22 he said, The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Now each of these three, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, all have big roles in God's plan. So for our intents and purposes today, we could call them sort of an inner circle. On the mountain, they discussed Jesus' departure. Departure comes from the same word in Greek as Exodus. So remembering the Exodus, where Moses led God's people out of Egypt and through the desert, saving them from oppression, is a big part in God's plan. And Elijah's departure, or Exodus, came in a glorious and blazing chariot. And in a few weeks, we will look together more closely at Jesus' departure as we walk through Holy Week together. But in any case, we have three people who have seen directly the bright glory of God. So there can be no mistake then that this dazzling white clothing, bright as a flash of lightning, is the glory of God manifested in Jesus. So bright, in fact, that you might need sunglasses. So bright that you need to look away. It's too bright. You've got to look away, but you can't help but keep your eyes on it. And now we have Peter, and we have John and James, who at the sight of this glory are weighed down with sleep. So did Peter, John, and James faint? Is that what weighed down with sleep means? I'm not entirely sure. But certainly seeing Jesus in his divine glory was amazing. Certainly too much to handle or to comprehend. This same glory that once made the Israelites afraid of Moses when he came down from Mount Sinai. So when Peter, James, and John see this glory, and then again when they hear the unmistakable voice of God in the form of the overshadowing cloud, they too are afraid, terrified. Now the word terrified can certainly mean what you might assume, being fearful or afraid, but it can also allude to having a deep reverence or awe for God. Peter, John, and James are mere humans, dumbstruck by seeing the divine glory of Jesus and hearing directly the voice of God. I'm not sure if you know this, but we are also humans, much like Peter, John, and James. So how or where do we see and hear the glory of God? In our passage today, Jesus, Peter, John, and James went up on a mountain to pray. So we all have places that are special to us, where we might feel spiritually refreshed or renewed or changed, perhaps. You might retreat to the beach in the summer with the salty ocean air and a light breeze. You might retreat to your car after a long day at work where you can take your first breath knowing that the day is finally over. We can see God in the face of a loved one. We can hear God in the music in our headphones or speakers. We can feel God in the rays of sunlight, like earlier this week when it was inexplicably 65 degrees. Personally, I love to go up to the mountains. The air is thin and crisp, and there's just something about feeling like you're closer to God, like you're wrapped up in the sky. And it's easy for me to see God in nature, being one with creation around trees, flowing water, flowers, open air. But you don't have to go physically to a special place to see or hear God. For Jesus, this change, this transfiguration happened while he was praying. This happened while he was talking and listening to God. So all we need to do is open our hearts and minds in prayer to let God lead us. The voice of God in the overshadowing cloud says, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." So if any of you remember from last week, Dan said that the word listening in this tradition carries the implication of both hearing and obeying. So listening implies obeying. So listening to God and listening to Jesus, as the passage says, means that we hear God and we allow God to work in our lives, going and doing where we are called. We are taught to pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's saying, "I hear you, God, and I will go." So we've heard God. We have seen God in the dazzling white clothing. We have seen that Jesus is undeniably the chosen one, the Son of God. So what now? When Peter, John, and James heard the voice of God and saw this change, they kept silent. In those days, they told no one any of the things they had seen. And we know eventually they had to tell somebody for us to be reading this passage. But there were only four people there that have seen this, that experienced this. So initially, at least, they kept silent. Could you imagine being one of those disciples, trying to explain to your friends or anyone that could listen how you saw Moses and Elijah in what appeared to be flesh? How you saw Jesus' clothes transform into white as bright as a flash of lightning, or that a cloud consumed you and the cloud spoke audibly, pronouncing Jesus to be the Son of God. Imagine trying to explain that to somebody. You might sound a little crazy or a little radical, maybe. But Jesus was radical. Jesus strived to show love and achieve justice for everyone, not just for the Jews or for the Israelites of his time. Today, Jesus wouldn't just love Moravians in the Lehigh Valley. He wouldn't just love people in North America. He wouldn't even just love Christians. Jesus' love and justice was radical. He would be concerned for the events and the impending war in the Ukraine, concerned for the people that are homeless and displaced around the world, concerned for those sick and dying, and even concerned for the selfish and the aggressors, hoping that they might know mercy and love. So let's contrast Peter, James, and John, who kept silent, with the passage right before the Transfiguration. In verse 23, Jesus says, "If any of them want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me." We have seen the glory of God. We have heard that Christ is the Son, so now what? Now what? We need to take up our cross daily, willing to sacrifice our time, our resources, our money, and our spiritual gifts for the plight and the well-being of others. And we need to follow Jesus. We have seen the glory of God, so now what? Now we need to go and do likewise. Following Jesus with our hearts and minds open, with radical and sacrificial love for others. In a few minutes, we will pray together the liturgy for celebration. So what's the occasion? We can celebrate seeing the glory of God and the ways in which we hear God speaking in each of our lives. The liturgy walks through the goodness and the grandeur of creation, the diversity of life, the boundless love of God. We can celebrate all of this and more. But there are two specific moments in this liturgy that make me want to celebrate. Now feel free to open your books of worship to page 45 so you can see what I'm talking about. So near the bottom of the page, it says, "Jesus healed the sick, fed the hungry, gave hope to the hopeless." Jesus challenges his followers to continue his ministry, asking us to feed, clothe, and give shelter, saying, "As you do these things for the least of these, you do them for me." This is an open invitation to follow and live like Jesus. We just got invited to the party. This is our call to ministry, to take up our crosses and to follow Jesus. So let's celebrate the fact that we have the opportunity to share Jesus' love with the world and to not only hear the cries of need, but to join with others who respond in loving action. And again on page 47, we get the image, "As tiny pebbles thrown into a pond cause ripples to move outward in ever-widening circles, may our love move from this place outward." We can show love to others in small ways that create a ripple effect, where one act of love and selflessness can lead to another and another and so forth. It's a beautiful image, and I think worthy of celebration. So may all that we do and say and live be a witness, be a prayer, and be a celebration. Amen.